Yeah, just to catch up then on some of those messages, want to send out best wishes to Anthony Slattery, who retired from Bus Éireann this week. It was also his birthday this week as well, so happy birthday to you, Anthony. I know you're a regular listener to us, and happy retirement as well. That comes in from Geraldine and all the gang there as well. Also, could you please send birthday wishes to our grandson, Daniel Malone. He's the big 15 today, and that comes in from everyone in Connolly Villas in Athgarvan. And a very happy birthday to Daniel Malone. And here's another one in. Liam sending a message in with a photograph of the dashboard on the bus this morning, reading -8 degrees at 6:15 this morning. My God, that was out in the Curragh. And I can tell you as well, I'm also very jealous of the photographs that are coming in of the mugs of tea this morning. Bridget Daniels with a lovely cup of scald there. She says she could drop it over to you. That'd be great, Bridget, if you wouldn't mind. Damien as well sending in a lovely bowl of porridge. That's what you need to warm up, he says. Absolutely, I do. And another one in from Paul as well with a cup of tea and a few biscuits as well on this chilly Thursday morning out and about in Kildare. Brian Mooney is on the line, guidance counsellor and education columnist with the Irish Times. How are you doing, Brian, and how are you keeping warm this morning?
Indeed. Staying indoors for a little while more.
Good stuff. You need to, all right. And, well, for some. Come here. The Irish Times Feeder School Supplement was released yesterday. It tracks the proportion of students in individual schools who progress to third-level colleges. Give us a little bit of background here around this, Brian.
Well, obviously, this is an annual thing that we do with all the other media. We look at where our students from individual schools go in terms of college progression, whether it is to universities such as Maynooth or to institutes of technology, those that remain, or to the new technological universities. And we obviously, the figures show the entry from students from the schools, but not necessarily from last year's 6 years. And they're measured as a proportion of last year's 6 years in those schools.
Okay, so if we look at the figures then that are out this year, is there a disparity maybe between those who are in fee-paying schools and those who aren't, or is that gap being closed?
Well, the fee-paying schools every year attracts an awful lot of attention, but what we have to point out is really fee-paying is not necessarily the factor. The factor is really whether the social class of the particular student group is totally committed to third level education, and in fee paying schools they obviously are. But if you look at figures if you take Dublin for instance, you would find that schools like Muckross or schools like Colossal Own or Colossal Eastercon, who are in the area where all the fee paying schools are in those areas, have almost identical progression rates. So it's really social class as opposed to fee-paying that is actually the determinant factor.
Okay, and in terms then of outside of those fee-paying schools, are we seeing other schools, maybe DESH schools, with an increased number of people going on to university?
Over the years, absolutely, it's happening. Now, obviously, there are more students from DESH schools actually going to colleges, including the traditional universities, than there are from fee-paying schools. But they make up 18% of the overall cohort, whereas fee-paying is only 7.5%. So obviously, as a proportion of the students within each school, obviously, DESH have a less high progression rate, but it has been an increasing progression rate. But if you isolate, the actual fee-paying, you'll find that 75% of fee-paying students go to the traditional universities, whereas that figure for DESH is only in the mid-20s.
Okay, if we take it county by county then, I see that 79% of students here in Kildare progress on to third level education. And as you pointed out from the outset, Brian, that could be a university or a technological or an institute of technology, as it's called. And you're looking as well as at girls' schools, boys' schools, mixed schools, etc.
The presence of a third level institution in a county is a hugely determinant factor. I mean, one of the things I covered in my own piece yesterday was I contrasted County Cavan at 61%, which doesn't have a third level institution, with County Carlow, which has 78%, which does have. So the actual presence, as you have in Maynooth, in County Kildare, actually is a real determinant factor in providing an opportunity, because the cost of third level these days is so prohibitively high in terms of accommodation and actually being able to afford to fund a son or daughter in a third level institution, that the actual presence of a third level institution increases significantly the attendance rate over counties which don't have one.
Okay, and just finally then, Brian, before I'm going to have a look at some of the schools here in Kildare, it's important to point out that while these figures are good and it's good to see those students going on to third level education, it's not for everybody, and that has to be pointed out. Some people who are in school mightn't want to go on to college, they mightn't want to study at third level, they might want to get an apprenticeship or whatever the case may be, and they have to be taken into account as well.
Well, obviously, there are a huge range of opportunities right across the economy. I mean, obviously, PLC students, that is, students who do a one-year PLC course immediately after school, many of them go on to really, really good jobs, and many of them also progress back into the CAO, now using their PLC award rather than their leaving cert points. So in areas where you have really high points requirements, you often find students who have PLC do very well in that and then go on to college and are very, very successful. And obviously, as you point out, Owen, you know, we have now got over 60 apprenticeships right across the economic sectors in which students can go immediately after school, earn from day one, and get qualifications, many of them with level 8 awards or even going up to level 9 and getting master's and PhD awards using the apprenticeship structure, in which students get highly skilled, as I say, from everything from farm chem to the traditional apprenticeships, you know, to apprenticeships in technology, etc. So there are real opportunities there for any student leaving school these days.
Okay, well, you can read more information on the Irish Times website. It's the Irish Times Feeder Schools Supplement, tracking the proportion of students in individual schools who progress to third level colleges. And Brian Mooney is guidance counsellor and education columnist with the Irish Times. Thanks for joining us, Brian. Good morning, and a very happy Christmas to you and all the gang there. Now, I just want to go and take a look at some of the figures then for us here in Kildare. And as I said, the general progression rate in the county was 79% here in Kildare. In Laois, it was 74%. In Wicklow, 76%. In Carlow, 78%. 77% in Offaly. 71% in Meath. And 83% in Dublin. So some good figures there. And the top five performing schools then are the schools that had the highest number of students that progressed on to third level education. It was St Mary's College in Naas was number one. St Wolstan's Community School in Selbridge was second. The Dominican College in Newbridge was third. Maynooth Post Primary School in Maynooth obviously was fourth, and Clongowes Wood College in Clane was in fifth. So they are the top five performing schools. But obviously, as we say, you know, while these are just figures and data, going on to third level education is not for everyone, and that has to be taken into account as well. But we just wanted to reflect those figures this morning on the show, and thanks to Brian Mooney for joining us. Now let's change tack and the issue of fuel prices. When will fuel prices not be in the news, I wonder, and particularly in winter now when it's getting colder and colder out there? But if we look at petrol and diesel for the moment, and a survey from the AA shows that the average price of fuel dropped by an average of about 10% this month. The average price of a litre of petrol is now 1.60 per litre, and 17 cent drop since last month, and the lowest average price for petrol since September 2021. Paddy Common joins me now, and he is the head of communications with the AA. Good morning, Paddy.
Good morning to you.
Is this something that we should be welcoming or maybe apprehensively looking at because fuel prices might increase in the early part of 2023?
Yeah, look, I think it's a case of just taking the respite while it's there for now, because obviously fuel is linked to the price of a barrel of oil, and that has been quite low because, you know, for various reasons, the market was anticipating recession. There was COVID restrictions in China. The OPEC countries were a little bit nervous about increasing production. But what we've seen now is that the oil is starting to rally back in price. So I think while we are enjoying reasonable, and I'd stress reasonable costs at the moment, because these are much higher than we would have had, say, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, we're certainly likely to see an increase in the new year. A lot of analysts are saying that the price of barrel oil will probably rally back to about $100 a barrel. So that could see costs going up. Another factor as well to take into account is the sort of ban on Russian oil, which is starting to take effect. And a lot of our diesel products would have come from that source. So there is a decent chance that diesel fuel might increase as well in the new year.
Okay, take me through the prices then. I mentioned petrol. What about diesel? What's it on average now?
Diesel is 174 a litre, which is still very high, relatively. If we were having a conversation 2 years ago, we would have said that's very high. But we did obviously see, you know, prices well over €2 per litre during the year. Now, those prices now are back to where we were in February, before the war in Ukraine started, which was the 20th of February. So they are down. We had a 22 cent per litre drop just on last month. So it is quite a reduction. But it could be temporary. You know, I talked to some retailers yesterday, and they were going up again and around ten cent or between 5 and 10 cent in some cases. So for now, it's a good time to fill the tank if you can. But and I think the prices will be reasonably steady, I think, before Christmas. But we may see a change in the new year.
Okay, and I mean, you mentioned there the fact that, you know, it's a respite and we're not sure when indeed we might see those increases, but it's hard to believe that this is the first decrease since September 2021 when it comes to petrol.
Yeah, it is. The prices have fluctuated. I mean, if you look back over the year, they did swap over. So we were, if we were going back to March and April of last year, it was petrol that had gone up over €2 per litre while diesel was lower. And they did swap over. You know, petrol has been reasonably steady for a while diesel was starting to get, you know, worryingly high over the last 2 to 3 months. So those two roles have swapped. But yeah, look, there's a myriad factors to take into account. Most of the primary one is linked to the price of barrel of oil. We did obviously have a duty reduction as well, which is due to end in February. For now, the government may relook at that again, which did take some of the pain out. But it's just an awful lot of factors, mostly with the upheaval in the war in Ukraine, and recessionary outlooks as well, which caused fluctuation in prices.
Okay, Head of Communications with the AA, Paddy Common. Thanks for your time, Paddy, and good morning. And it's time to open up our Christmas crackers competition again. Bear with me while I go and grab this, because the fella who brought it in to me left it a mile over on the table. Right, pair of tickets for Foster and Alan at the Cadeen Hotel on the 7th of January. That's a fantastic prize. Wouldn't mind going to that myself. And also a voucher for Soul Burger at Kildare House Hotel. And Soul Burger is a deep South American vegan-friendly burger bar offering a real like-for-like choice for vegans, meat-eaters and health-conscious people who are lovers of great food. They offer an eco-friendly, zero-emissions delivery service as well, 7 days a week. You can get more information on soulburger.ie. So we have a double prize to give away then this morning. The pair of tickets for Foster and Alan at the Cadeen Hotel and that voucher for Soul Burger in Kildare Town as well. And all you have to do to win that prize is text the word Santa and your name to where you're from to 0833 97 97 97, and we'll be calling a winner on air at around about 5 to 11 this morning. So the word Santa, where you're from, 97 97 97.
Kildare Today
with the Whitewater Shopping Centre gift card. Give them what they really want this Christmas with a Whitewater gift card.
Okay, welcome back. Keep those messages coming in for our competition this morning. As we said, it's two pairs of tickets, well, a pair of tickets to go and see Foster and Alan at the Cadeen Hotel on the 7th of January, and a voucher for Soul Burger as well. And you just have to text or WhatsApp the word Santa, followed by your name and where you're from to 0833 97 97 97. And as I say, we'll be announcing the winner and bringing the winner on air just before 11 o'clock this morning, there or thereabouts. Now, we have to say a very happy 60th birthday to Helen Bulger, who's tuned in Newbridge this morning, and that comes in from all the gang in Castle Dermot, and we'll see you later is the message there. So have a fantastic day. Now, the cold weather, well, we've talked about it enough, haven't we? And the cold, the status orange cold weather warning comes back into effect later on this evening around 6 o'clock for every county with the exception of Donegal. And my next guest is calling for footpaths and cycle lanes to be gritted during this cold snap. And it's Dr. Emma Howard, an economist and lecturer at the Technological University in Dublin. Good morning, Emma, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. So when we look around, particularly here in Kildare and other counties as well, we often see the road gritter out and about, and he's salting the main roads around the county. You want that to be extended to the cycle lanes and the footpaths?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that the recent cold patch has really highlighted the priorities of the local authorities in terms of road users. So we've seen, as you say, they've done a really good job of keeping the roads clear, and you know, they've been working overnight and making sure that people can drive to work or drive to school or wherever they're going in the mornings. But we haven't seen the same thing happening at all with our cycle lanes or our footpaths. So especially the fact that we've had such a prolonged cold spell, and you know, we've had snow in lots of places, we've had ice, it's compacted, and it's really resulted in treacherous conditions. So it's meant that lots of people who would cycle to work, maybe cycle or walk their kids to school, have really had to resort to driving instead in lots of cases.
You wrote an opinion piece for the Journal during the week, and you asked the question, why are we prioritising cars, and that maybe it's counterintuitive when we're trying to encourage more people to get out and about and use active travel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we all know at this stage we're in a real climate emergency. You know, we've got serious adverse weather events, and those are going to be occurring with more frequency as climate change takes hold. And you know, we have put lots of good targets in place in Ireland. You know, the Climate Action Plan has set ambitious targets for our reductions in emissions. But really, those ambitious targets haven't yet really translated into action, and particularly kind of high impact action on the ground. So one of our biggest sectors, so our second highest sector in terms of emissions, is transport. And if you look at where those emissions are coming from, over half of those emissions are coming from private car use. So we're really dependent on car usage in this country. Now, some of that is because we've got lots of one-off housing, and we've got a lot of people who live in rural locations. And, you know, in those cases, they don't really have a choice. You know, if you want to, if you're living, you know, 3 or 4 miles from school, or you're living a long distance from work, and there's no cycle paths or there's no footpaths, there isn't a choice in those situations. But we also have lots of people living in towns and living in places where they can get to work, get to school, using public transport or cycling or walking, and a lot of those people actually use their cars just out of habit. So again, you know, the data shows us that over half of the journeys we make in Ireland that are under 2 kilometres are taken by car. So we've got this car dependency. A lot of that is down to habitual behaviour or just ease. You know, sometimes it's just easier to jump in the car and drive down the road. So If we're trying to encourage individuals to change that habitual behaviour, we need to make it easy for them, right? We need to make it a viable alternative option that they can walk and drive. And so when we see something like the current cold snap, and that actually those places where we do have good, safe cycling and walking infrastructure in place, where those are just left in treacherous conditions so that people can't use them, it really disincentivizes people to participate in active travel.
But even if we're looking at, you know, people who are travelling in and out of work, right, that's one aspect of it. But even more simplistic, somebody who might be in their 70s or 80s or thinking, I can't even go down for the paper or for a litre of milk now because I can't leave the house, the footpaths will be lethal. Or for those kids,
absolutely.
Those kids who walk to school who can't drive, you know, it might be dangerous for them, and you have kids and maybe older people slipping all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've seen that. Like, so there are people who are out braving the footpaths, but it's really slippy underfoot. You know, there's no doubt being falls, being injuries as a result. And yeah, particularly for older people, you know, it can be really, really dangerous if they have a fall. So what we're seeing is lots of older people who are not leaving their house or not participating in their usual activities, and that's really bad. It's bad for your mental health, it's bad for your physical health. So it's yet another reason for those cycle paths and those paths to be cleared where possible.
Do you think we're going to see that shift? Will we see the gritting of cycle lanes and footpaths? Do you think there needs to be that joined up thinking?
Yeah, I think there does. And I mean, so, you know, I'm based in Dublin, and it was raised at the South Dublin County Council, which is my own local council, at their committee meeting. And so some of the councillors have proposed that they look at their policies and they change them. Dublin City County Council did respond to calls from councillors. So some of the Green councillors had requested they grit paths, and you know, it was 5 days into the cold snap, but they did come out and start clearing the footpaths and start clearing clearing the cycle lane. So, you know, it is possible in other countries where they have more snow. You know, for example, in Sweden, actually, they prioritise. So when they are clearing roads after a snowfall, they start with the footpaths. Hmm. And then they do the roads. And the thinking being that for people to use public transport, they have to be able to walk safely to that public transport. So there's no point in having your public transport up and running if nobody can get to it. So they clear the footpaths first, and then they do the roads.
Just finally then, and I mean, I've read through your opinion piece. I think you raised some great points. But just even me thinking now, would it not just be so simple to grit the footpaths and the cycle lane? Like, how are we just gritting roads? And, you know, even if you were to just turn the gritter up a little bit, it would surely spread onto the cycle lanes and the footpaths. It's not that hard.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. So I have no expertise in engineering, so I have no idea on the mechanics of it, how easy that
Neither
would
do
be.
I, no.
But, you know, but yeah, you're right. I would guess that it's not that complicated. And certainly Dublin City Council, you know, after many calls, were able to get out and do it. But, I mean, we really do have just a very car-dependent culture in Ireland. And I think that it's just embedded in our policies. It's embedded in all of our planning that, you know, driving, it's the motorists get the priority on roads, in planning. And it's just something that the councils clearly don't think about. So, you know, they're absolutely out and making sure that the roads are safe and clear and that people can drive. But really thinking about those other commuters is not not even in their planning.
Okay, it's an interesting concept and one that has got a lot of people talking and thinking as well. That's Dr. Emma Howard, economist and lecturer at Technological University Dublin, calling for footpaths and cycle lanes to be gritted during this cold snap. Thanks for your time this morning, Emma. I mean, I'm no expert, right? And I don't know the technical terms, as Emma said as well. But it can't be that hard. If you're going out and gritting the roads, why are we not gritting the cycle lanes and the footpaths as well? Green Party councillor Colm Kenny texted in to say he brought this issue up at the meeting there of the Naas Municipal District. He says there's a hierarchy of road use with pedestrians, cyclists and public transport at the top and private cars at the bottom. However, this hierarchy is not followed during icy conditions as roads are gritted ahead of footpaths and cycle lanes. Yeah, that's the point that's been raising, but I'm just left scratching my head. It can't be that hard. or it can't cost that much more to go around and to grit the cycle lanes and the footpaths as well, because it's leading to very dangerous conditions for particularly older people and children who might be walking to school as well. Message in here, Happy Christmas. Will you say hello to Lily and Ben Foran, my sister Sharon and brother Thomas, who are listening in Clain. Could you please play Let It Snow and tell them they have to get up and dance. Enjoy your cup of tea, says Claire in Tullamore. I'll see if I can get Let It Snow in before the end of the programme. If not, I'll say it to John Dunn and no doubt he'll give it a spin after 11 o'clock this morning. There was another one in as well to say, can you give my granddaughter Megan in Selbridge a big shout out on her birthday today? A big 18 and a big party on Saturday night in Strafford, we're told. Looking forward to it. That comes in from Grandad Paddy Malloy in Monine Rose. So Megan, a very happy birthday to you, the big 18 today. Another message in here saying, it amazes me, we paid the same road tax no matter where we live. We admire all those who go out and do the gritting. It's not easy, says this listener. And also another listener texting in there to say that it would be quite simple just to adjust the gritter and adjust the gritter spreader up to 2 inches so grit doesn't hit the curb and instead it spreads onto the footpath.
Kildare Today
with a Whitewater Shopping Centre gift card. Give them what they really want this Christmas with a Whitewater gift card.
Fine Gael councillor in the Kilcullen area, Tracy O'Dwyer, is on the line now. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Owen. Thank you for having me on.
Before we go to some of the issues that you've been raising with the council, can I just touch on that we mentioned before the break as to why the footpaths and the cycle lanes in Kildare are not being gritted? What's your view on that?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is that it's not just Kildare. Paths are not gritted anywhere, to the best of my knowledge, in the country. So it seems to be, you know, not just a County Kildare thing that's happening. But I suppose the primary focus is gritting our roads, and that would include cycle paths, because in most cases the cycle paths are adjacent to the road. So when the truck goes along, it's not just, you know, spraying out of the direction behind it. It actually does go across the road and onto the paths. Now, if cars are parked, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't always reach the paths, but the focus is definitely clearing our roads. And I have to say the teams have been out, you know, twice a day, twice during the night. You know, we definitely need more probably going forward if this is the kind of weather we're going to have. But at the moment, they're doing their best. But it's certainly not specific to County Kildare that paths are not gritted. It actually is a countrywide thing.
Yeah, we definitely need more as well on the rural roads, because I know the main roads around Kildare are gritted and gritted quite well, but the back roads, some people are texting in to say that our road hasn't been gritted, so maybe that has to be looked at as well. Right, some of the issues that you have been raising recently, Tracy. First of all, you wanted appropriate traffic calming measures to be installed on the Athgarvan Road to 2 Mile House within the 50 kilometres per hour zone.
Yes, this actually came up at a recent meeting with the guards in 2 Mile House. The meeting was about the winter safety talks, but speed from Athgarvan into 2 Mile House is an ongoing issue and has been. People are coming from Athgarvan, don't realise they're approaching a village. They're on a lovely straight road, more or less coming in to 2 Mile House, and there's nothing definite there in an infrastructure to say you must slow down now. Whereas on the far side, if you're coming from Naas to 2 Mile House, there are tabletops which actually forces motorists to slow down. So they have agreed to carry out a technical assessment and to see what can be done on that road to slow down motorists. So that's very welcome.
Okay, other issues then that you have been raising, Tracy. Again, it's in the general area of Kilcullen, 2 Mile House, etc. But first of all, the roads there, you wanted traffic calming measures on the approach to the Logstown Road in Kilcullen from Carnalway. Are you going to get that?
We're not going to get it this year, that's for sure. The council have confirmed that they have no plans to resurface the Logstown Road. Beautiful long stretch of road that's used by many walkers. It's like a patchwork quilt, to be honest. It's been repaired that often over the years. But at the moment, there are no plans to resurface it. But I will keep at it, and hopefully, you know, maybe late in 2023 or early 2024, we can get it on a works programme to be resurfaced.
Okay, you had a joint question in then with your colleague Peggy O'Dwyer, and this was around the Roscommon area. You were looking for confirmation when houses will be built at a site there.
Yeah, it's a site that has been zoned residential for a long time, and you know, it's in our housing reform programme. So Peggy and Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer and myself were out there a few months back and just wondered why nothing had happened, you know. And there was a recent report there from the Department of Housing that showed 11 local authorities had not built any houses in 2022. So we asked when was anything going to be built on this site, because it is zoned residential. So the site is currently being considered by the Department of Housing, and it is included in a bundle to be delivered. So while it's a slow process, we would hope that the department would come back to Kildare County Council in a timely manner so that houses could be built. You know, it would be affordable and social housing that would be built on that site.
Okay, and you were looking then for a proportion of funding to be ring-fenced from the department development levies for the development in Two Mile House to fund a path.
Well, to fund a path and playground.
Right.
Two Mile House have only ever looked for two amenities in their area, and that is a connected path and a playground. And, you know, the development levies don't come to an area that often. And while they are for the county, I was just really putting officials on notice that when we get to discuss the capital programme and the capital budget in the new year, that I will be beating a drum that Two Mile House is considered for their playground and a path, because land has actually been dezoned, residential land in Two Mile House. So they may not get the opportunity again to deliver development levies, which they are at the moment. So I just wanted it noted that this is something that I will be fighting hard for in the new year when we discuss our capital budget, that Two Mile House, who only ever looked for two amenities, can be considered, and that some funding could be put aside to deliver a playground and a path in the village.
And did you get a response, a positive response there for Two Mile House?
Well, you know, the response was that it would be discussed, a capital budget, so, you know, no commitment made, but I didn't get turned down either, I suppose. It was just that it could be raised at the capital budget time and it could be discussed at that stage. So I'll take that and we'll work with that and we'll see what we can do.
Okay, that is Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Tracy O'Dwyer, with those issues. Tracy, thanks for joining us this morning. Good morning and happy Christmas. I just see an issue being raised here online that waiting lists are virtually at a standstill, according to hospital consultants groups. The Irish Hospital Consultants Association has expressed dismay that the government is on course to miss its waiting list reduction targets for this year by a significant margin. The organisation said that waiting lists were at a virtual standstill instead of the target reduction of 18% or 132,000 cases by the year end. It said that this is despite 71,000 people being removed from national waiting lists without any treatment through a validation process. The official National Treatment Purchase Fund waiting list targets for November, published recently, show there are over 813,000 patients waiting for treatment or to be seen at an outpatient clinic by a consultant for the first time. This excludes over 53,000 patients that were suspended from waiting lists because they're unable to be treated at this time for a variety of reasons. And the Hospital Consultants Association said today that almost one third, or 70 million of the 200 million euro access to care fund to reduce waiting lists will be left unspent this year. This is obviously on the back of what we've seen, that Naas General Hospital are at capacity. We've known that. Tala Hospital as well, at capacity. They can't take any more. Now, with that said, they've also made the point that if it's an emergency, you'll be seen. But other than that, they've asked that patients with non-emergency matters will go to another healthcare professional, such as an out-of-hours doctor, a GP, etc. So just to keep that in mind. But, you know, the pressure that these hospitals are under, and again, it's not the fault of any of the healthcare workers in those hospitals who are doing Trojan work, but the government there need to maybe help them. Bed capacities, additional funding, extensions, etc. to those hospitals. Damien in touch to say if the council or anyone makes an effort to grit the footpath to clear the ice, they have to find a way to make sure the entire footpath is actually gritted, because once an attempt is made and some part of the path is missed, it leaves the council or whoever tried to do the gritting liable if someone falls on the part of the path which is not gritted. Point taken. Thanks, Damien.